Good morning. As you realize, today is one of those summer services in which the children remain with us. The topic of this summer series with the children deals with responses to questions which kids ask, or they are asked by other children. And today's question is, why is it important to read the Bible? I would add to that, for the adults, not just read, but study, but we're starting out with the concept, why is it important to read the Bible? This question actually came from one of my own children. I asked them, what questions would you like to have answered when you were younger? And this was one that Anne responded to and said, well, I knew I was supposed to read the Bible, but I didn't know why. Why was it important? Actually, there are many answers to this question, but we will just look at three. There's a lot of good reasons for reading the Bible, but when it comes down to the why is it important in my life, I tried to focus on answers that were unique to the Bible. Nowhere else would you find something of the same quality. So, as I normally do, I ask the children to come forward. I've already talked to a couple. I asked them, are you going to help me this morning and come forward? Two more seats here. You don't all have to sit in that back row, do you? Maybe I'll pick on you special because you're sitting in that second row. I'd like to introduce the... Now, if I don't look at you out there... Please know I'm talking to the kids, so you can listen in, although I already have had a comment this morning from one adult saying, oh good, it's an all-age service, I'll get more out of this one. And as I've told the others, when you aim at this level, I'm sure the rest of us will pick things up as well. I'd like to introduce the first answer to the question by using an illustration. Some of you may have already seen these types of drawings. Perhaps the adults are familiar with that. But I'd like you to look at these two lines. And can you tell me which line of these two lines is bigger? Is this the same size as this one? Or is this one bigger than this one? Or is it smaller than this one? What do you think?
Same.
Okay. How many of you think they're the same size? Let you raise your hand. Yeah, a lot. Follow the leader. How about the adults? How many think they're the same size? Oh, I thought so. You're wrong. They're not the same size. Okay. Moving from that, how many of you think this one is smaller than this one? Raise your hand. I've got one, two, three. How many of you think this one is bigger than this one? We've got two. Okay. Three, four. Now, how do we find out? You measure it. Good.
Did you measure this? Okay. 11, 10.
This one is bigger than this one. Do you believe it? Let us know which one was the bigger. When we look at these, our eyes deceive us. These other lines sort of make it difficult to judge the lens, but with a ruler we can tell which one is the longer. Here's another one that's similar. But this one you get to decide where you want to put the line. Okay? Now, what you need to do is you need to tell me when this line is the same length as this line. Okay? Now, where do I stop it? Should I move it over here? How about over here? Okay, I'll move it across. When are the two lines the same length? There? Tell me when to stop. Not too far? Which way should I go? This way? Over further this way? You sure? Which way? Stop. You're saying a little bit more to the right. Is that good? Come on. How about the adults? Do you like it that way, or should I move it back the other? Who wants to measure these?
Couldn't hear his response.
This one is 11. This one is 16. Are you convinced? I'm not cheating with the ruler. It's a real ruler. This one is 11 and this one is 16. Your eyes deceived you because of these lines. The Bible is like this ruler. There are things that are around us that are trying to deceive us. But the Bible is God's absolute standard, just like a ruler, to measure things, what we see and what we hear, what people tell us, even what we think, to see whether it's right, to see whether it measures up to truth. Now, there are many things that deceive us, and we're going to start with the closest. What's the very closest thing to you that deceives you? You know what it means to be deceived? You say it. Do you know what deceive means? Not sure. It deceives means when somebody makes you think something that's not true. Like I just did. Those lines made you think, well, this looks right. And it deceived you. Now, what's the closest thing to you that makes you think wrong things? Do you know? Well, Satan's one of them, but that's not the closest. We'll get to Satan. TV, well, that might be close to you too, but that's not it either. It says our own hearts. In Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Our own hearts, our own minds are out to trick us. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, do not deceive yourselves. Have you ever told yourself, oh, just, if I just do this one more time, it won't hurt. If I just stay up another half hour, it won't hurt. I won't be tired tomorrow morning. Have you ever thought that? If I just stay, mommy wanted to be home at 5 o'clock, but I can just stay out for another 15 minutes. That won't be bad. Has that ever happened? Well, maybe. I don't think they want to confess up here. That's when our heart is deceiving us. It's saying something that's not true. Now, you mentioned Satan. Satan's out to deceive us too. In fact, that's the name he's given, the deceiver. He deceived, who's the first one he deceived beside himself? Which one? Eve. Okay. He first deceived Eve. And he's out to deceive people after that. And he even directs evil spirits. It says deceiving spirits in 1 Timothy. Now, we mentioned the other group. He mentioned television. That's one way. But other people try to deceive us. Paul writes in Ephesians, let no one deceive you with empty words. To the Colossians, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. To the Thessalonians, don't let anyone deceive you. People are out to make you think something's right when it's wrong. Now, the main problem with deception is that it looks right. I've tried doing this. There we go. Now, does that look right? It is. Those lines are the same length. 13 and 13. They're the exact same length. These lines are out to deceive you. And that's what the world's like. They want to make you think, oh, that's not the way it is. This is what's better. And that's what deception is. You look at it and say, well, this can't be. Or this has got to be true. And it's not. It's the other way around. The Bible is the standard. In Psalm, there's a lot of Psalms that talks about this. It says, the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Psalm 119, all your words are true. All your commands are trustworthy. Now the Bible, because it's God's word, is true and can be trusted. God gives us clear truths to measure the way what may appear to be right, but the Bible says, no, that's not right. Now one thing that we commonly are told wrong about is anger. Have you ever gotten angry? No. Yeah. I won't ask you. I think most of us at some point in our lives have gotten angry. Now there's some angry, it's okay. Jesus got angry when he went into the temple and he saw it was wrong. But there's other anger that's not right, and there's a certain right way to handle anger and a wrong way. But when somebody tells us something and they lie to us and we get mad at it, or they do something bad and we get angry and we want to tell them, you shouldn't do that, and yell at them. Our heart may be saying, this, you ought to tell them off. Or somebody speaks real bad to you and your friends are saying, you shouldn't let them say that to you. You ought to yell back at them. And Paul writes in Ephesians, he said, if you don't handle your anger right, you're even giving Satan a chance to work in your life. So you have Satan happy that you're getting angry, and your friends and your heart is saying, this is right. But you read things like the Proverbs, and it says, well, a gentle answer turns away wrath. When someone's mad at you, how should you respond? Do you yell back at them? The Bible says, no. You answer gently to them. You speak nicely. We measure our answer. How am I supposed to respond? Oh, anger isn't right. Oh, gentle. That's the right answer. And the Bible is the way we find out what's right. Now the second answer is related to the first of the question. And the question is, why is it important to read the Bible? It's important because it's the only way we have of measuring our life. The second one is like it, and I want to use an illustration on that too. Now, if I drew a picture of you, each one, do you think you would recognize it? Maybe. You have more hope than I do. I think you would recognize the picture maybe as human. But beyond that, you could probably tell the girls with the long hair from the guys. But beyond that, I'm not sure you would tell from my drawings which would work. However, not like hers. Now I've got something. So I brought mine too, Jim. Now I can go along. I can find out each one of them
exactly.
No trouble picking out which picture is there. Now, do you remember what you look like? You certain? You can pick it out. Okay. Uh I told you I was going to try something out. I brought a pencil with me.
It writes pretty nice on the hand. But you can wipe it off today.
Have your picture here. You think that would help? Well, here's your picture. I wrote it after. What do you need to see what's on your forehead? Here we go. I didn't want to get in trouble with the parents. But we can use a camera or a mirror to find out what we're like. And we can look at it later at the picture and say, well, yeah, that's me. But when something happens to us, we have to go to a mirror and say, well, I'm different today than I was yesterday or just a couple minutes ago. And the Bible is like that. But James, in the Bible, he uses this picture. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, the Bible is like a mirror. When we read the Bible, God tells us about ourselves. But God wants us to do something about what we see. Now, do you ever forget what you look like when you look in a mirror? Do you think that's possible? I have. I started growing a beard 30 years ago. I hate to say it, it might be longer than your parents are old. I don't know. And after about 18 years, my kids were saying, what do you look like without a beard? So I decided to shave it off. In fact, it was at Hans and Barbara's vacation house. At that time, your dad's. And I shaved it off. And before that time, when the morning I'd get up and I would shower, I'd shampoo my hair and I'd shampoo my beard. And then I would shave my beard off. And I would go in the morning and look and wonder who that person was that I hadn't seen in 18 years behind the beard. And then there it was. And you know what I did? I'd go in the shower. I put the shampoo in my hand and I put it on my head and put it in my hand and smear it on my face. I had forgotten what I looked like. I had forgotten I didn't have a beard anymore. Even though I just saw it a few minutes ago. We can do that. But the Bible reminds us, as we look at the Bible, it reminds us what we're like. And God expects us to do something. In Hebrews, the difference between a camera and a mirror is the mirror tells us the way you are right now. The camera, that's already 10 minutes old. And now you can see that your hair's messed up and a little more tired than you were. The Bible is the same way as a mirror. In Hebrews it says the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. More than a mirror that just sees on the outside, the Bible tells us what's inside our hearts. God uses His Word to reflect right out of the inside of our heart what we're thinking and what's right and wrong about the way we think. Therefore, it's important that we read the Bible. Have your parents ever told you you have a bad attitude? Ooh, I saw some smiles on that one. Parents, have you ever told your children to have a bad attitude? Have we ever had a bad attitude? Oh, yes. And many times it's the Bible. God uses His Word that tells us that's a bad attitude that you have. Like a mirror, it goes beyond just looking at my face. It goes all the way to my heart and says, that's a bad attitude you have there, David. I go, oh, yes. And we don't want to forget what we saw, but we want to walk away and do something about it. Therefore, we need to read the Bible because we realize that even our hearts deceive us. We may think it's okay to think this, but the Bible tells us, no, it's not. Before we look at the third answer, I think we've got a song to sing. So you can get up and maybe move around a little bit. I have a few last things in my box this morning. I brought some special tools along with me. I'd like you to guess who might use these. I'll start with the easiest.
A student.
Do you ever use things like that? Yeah. What would happen if you went to school and you forgot your pencil and your pen? Would you have problems? A little bit. You might have to try to borrow something. You have to borrow something for somebody. You generally need a pencil. Yeah, they might have it at the school. Usually teachers, they think about that and they have something extra. How about this? Oh, yeah. What's this? That's for painting. A painter might use this, or people who think they're painting. Okay. There's another easy one. What's this? Okay. For a cook, for a baker, someone you roll things out or you chase people. No, you don't chase people. I've got one little tougher one. Yeah, James, do you? A builder. Okay, that's good. What type of builder? There you go. A what? A constructor, a person who builds. What type of thing would they use these for? A mechanic? No. Making things. Well, this is what in German would be a Fliesennagel, a person who laid tiles. Paste can go usually a little bit thicker with the paste for that, but you smear the mortar on the ground. This is later, and if you need to cut a tile and break a tile, this is for breaking off an edge of a tile to get it fit around a corner. It'd be very difficult to work in anything. This is for later on when you're putting the grout in between the tiles and you smear it out, you can use this. Tools are very important for whatever you do. If your mom rolls cookies out, uses a rolling pin, can you imagine what that would be like trying to do if you didn't have a rolling pin? It'd be possible. It would look kind of, yeah. It'd look kind of bumpy when you're done, wouldn't it? Or doing a cake crust, a thin cake crust, trying with a pencil, rolling it with a pencil. Yeah, that'd be tough. Now, workers are equipped, though, in other ways. When we talk about things, that's their equipment that they take with them. They're equipped in other ways, too. Sometimes you have to go to a special school to learn how to do things. Or you You join another person who already knows, and they teach you how to do it. That's what I did, learn how to lay tiles. I worked with the owner of the house we used to live in. He laid tiles, and I helped him. It was the first time I ever did it. And then I did it myself after he had done it. Well, God gives us the Bible to equip us. What does he expect us to do? We're not laying tiles. What does he expect us to be doing?
Yeah?
Reading the Bible, okay. Working. What type of work? Useful work, okay. The Bible calls it good work. In Ephesians it says, we are God's workmanship. He made us, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works. So he has made us to do good works. And the Bible is what he has given us to equip us, just like all those tools there, to give us the things we need to be able to do good works. And when Paul writes to Timothy,